Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Talking Bears and Bucks. Beautiful day on the lakefront. Tom Brady's 5-0 against the Bears. It doesn't happen often. One of the games wasn't even at Soldier Field with the Bears home game. Remember, that was in Champaign.
I actually went down there the night before because my father-in-law was calling the games. I told you, that's the time when I got Tom Brady to sign us a football for me. He stepped out of the elevator and I swooned.
And that's how we started Handsome or Not Handsome.
Exactly.
Isn't it? After you saw Tom Brady
in
person.
Close and personal, and I was like, damn, that ain't right. How can you? Perfect. You're not allowed to be that perfect.
In 02, Tom Brady still wasn't close to the GOAT. So, yeah. I mean, you didn't vault him up just because he was great. He had a Super Bowl, yes, but he wasn't the GOAT yet.
Nope, he was not.
We did not know that he would be this good. Let's talk to Doug Kazarian, who usually joins us on Fridays, and you see him on ESPN. He is absolutely awesome. He joins us each and every week. He's now out in Vegas, the new set that ESPN built, and he joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Hi, Doug.
Good to be with you guys. You're taking me back to my early days in TV. I was actually going to some of those Champaign games in the Lovie Smith era, and we're back when Miller was the quarterback, and they hosted the Eagles in that like Ice Bowl. I was at that game early on in my career.
Who were you covering it for?
The Bears. I was in the Quad Cities. I was in the Quad Cities 4 years.
Oh, that's awesome. The Quad Cities. Yeah. That's fantastic. Waddle likes the Bears, but I'm confused. This game started, Doug, at like 5.5 with the Bucks being the favorite, and it has dropped to 3.5, probably because of injuries. It's been bet down. So who do you like in this game tonight?
No, it's a great point. You've nailed it. So basically, lines can move for a variety of reasons. It could be because of respected sharp money, especially earlier in the week when we have a softer market and they're more likely to move than maybe like Sunday morning or something like that. It takes more money to move on Sunday morning. Then there's roster alerts, injuries, things like that. So in terms of going back to last week, the quarterback change didn't really do much to the point spread, although Foles is considered quote-unquote better. The line's coming down here because of the injuries, like you said. O.J. Howard out for the year, no Godwin, we'll see about Evans. Really thin supporting cast. And when it's cluster injuries, meaning multiple in one position, then it becomes more amplified. It's never simple math, as you guys know. We've talked about a bunch. One injury, it's like, oh, so-and-so to the point spread is X. It's just not that simple because of the key numbers of 3, 6, 7, 4, things like that. So the fact that we've moved through 4 and it's 3, it's sitting 3 at a lot of places, it just kind of feels like the right number. The Bears figure to play better, short week, they're at home, Tampa has to travel. How good is Tampa? They got the gift with the turnover at the end of the first half last week. They haven't really looked that great. It was a beat-up Denver team, which probably is the most injured team in the NFL right now, albeit it was on the road. But still, we're not really sure how good the Bucks are. We're really not sure how good the Bears are. Their wins were combined like 12 points, their 3 wins. So, and against weak competitions, so it's kind of like that wonky line. It's come down to 3, 3.5. And yes, the professionals have backed Chicago, but it's not in overwhelming fashion.
What would you? Which direction would you go, Doug?
I probably would take the point just because when you have a low total like 44, 44 and a half, which it is because we now are seeing so many totals in the high 40s and 50s, 44 is considered on the lower side. And when you can get 3 or even 3.5, I would lean to the Bears just because of what I touched on earlier. Travel, short week, we're not really sure how good Tampa is. I know they're deep at running back. I think the under is probably the play. I would even go first half under, just because in case a team gets up by 2 scores, they might press a little bit. But 21.5, 22 is your first half total. I would look there first more than I would look at the Chicago side. But getting 3 and the extra hook there is tempting. I do think Foles will play better. I don't know, though. We're not really sold on this Bears squad. It sounds like the city of Chicago isn't either.
We're very confused.
I was going to say, Doug, you have sold us on teasers, a couple of teaser plays the past few weeks. How about, I want you to grade the teaser that I just played. I played the Bears getting 9 and over 40.5, and the two-pick teaser is plus 132. Is that a good gamble?
Okay. Yeah, so you're only adjusting 5 points. So just take a step away, sort of a macro approach. We talk about key numbers, right? 3, 4, 6, and 7, mostly 3 and 7. So the key is, from a math perspective, if you're paying the same amount, which is like minus 120, some places higher, for a six-point teaser, you want to get the most bang for your buck or bang for your teaser and go through those key numbers. So that's why 7.5 to 1.5 is so valuable, because going back to key numbers, not every point is created equal. So if you can get the teaser through 3 and 7, then you're getting value on a teaser rather than like an over-under. So typically, you should not tease an over-under. Typically, you shouldn't do a college football teaser, because the over-unders are like 60 and 70. So again, goes back to the bang for your point, bang for your teaser. With that being said, betting is also fun, and we're here to have fun.
Yes.
There's one game on Thursday night. If you want to do kind of a fun teaser, get the Bears through 7, right, through 4, 6, and 7. That's at least a smart approach. But overall, long-term value, your best play on teasers is going from like 7.5 to 8, 8.5, those down to 2.5, 2, and 1.5. And then the other way, too, teams that are plus 2, like Carolina, you can take it to through 3, 4, 6, 7, and 8 and get plus 8. So you're getting Carolina, because you have to win both, so it's hard. But on your point, I know I'm going a little long here, when they are on the same game, sometimes it makes sense if you think they are correlated. So correlated teasers, correlated parlays are defensible in certain situations. But Waddle, at the end of the day, we're here to have fun. So
yes.
Why not?
Yeah, Doug, seriously, it was a $10 bet. I mean, like, so
right, the kids right. are going to... Tell him that you cashed out of your $10 bet, too, yesterday.
The kids are going to eat, you know? Like, yeah. Listen, Doug, this is what it is. This is fun for me.
Tell
like,
him what you did.
First of all, I watched the carton thing on HBO last night, and I won't play anything other than a $10 teaser. But this is what I did yesterday, Doug, okay? I had a $10 bet on the... Was it Abdallah? Help me on this. We had a $10 bet on the Astros. All right,
Astros, Dodgers, Padres, Yankees.
Astros. I had a $10 bet on the Astros on a money line. They got up 7-4 in like the eighth inning. It was $10. It was going to pay $19. They were offering me $16.59 to cash out. I had a little gut feeling like, you know what? This is enough for me. I cashed out, so I took $10 and turned it into $16.60, and look what happened.
Right.
What happened
and I was speaking earlier to, like, the big picture stuff, some of our listeners right now, in terms of the value of teasers. But look, you know, I've said this since day one. It goes back, we talked about this, Trading Places, the legendary movie of Eddie Murphy, Dan Aykroyd, and Randolph and Mortimer explaining Billy Ray Valentine what they do, and Billy Ray Valentine's first comment was, "Sounds to me like you guys are a couple bookies." And that's essentially it's a trading market. I mean, you hear guys out here say, "Yeah, I bought some at 3, sold some at 3.5." You know, they talk like it's a commodity, and it essentially is. So, like, I have 3 laptops out, and I have a 5 TV man cave, and you're a day trader essentially. And a lot of these guys have the similar setups, and it's you're playing the market, you're creating positions. And I have a buddy who's out here, a professional bettor. He actually used to work at the Merck in Chicago back in the day, many years ago. And he just looks at it like the same concept. And derivative trading, for those who are in the finance world, it's kind of like creating your own props. So you're taking stuff, it's not as binary as like buying and selling a stock. It's you're creating portfolio and leverage and hedging positions. And that's what these props are doing. Like, for example, I touted LeBron minus 150 and minus $2 to win MVP. I can play back Miami. I can play back AD at 5 or 6 to 1. There's managing your portfolios. You basically created a derivative, and you hedged your position.
Yeah.
In this case, since it's such a binary outcome, it's either win or lose in baseball. And because baseball has no clock, it's hard to project what can happen. And because baseball's crazy like that, right?
I got to tell you, Doug.
You moved your position around.
I did, and I took a little bit of profit. Had I stayed with it, I would have lost, but had I stayed with it and they would have won, it was worth an extra $2. I can't begin to tell you the dirty names that Chris Black and Adam Abdallah were calling me throughout the course of that game for cashing out a $10 bet for $16.59.
Well, you know what you also did? You have to factor this in. You didn't have to pay the handyman to come and fix the hole in your wall that you would have punched.
There you go.
You lost.
Nobody right. ever really, got poor taking a profit.
But, you know, it's each their own. And you know what? You can sometimes play back half. And since they put up a line between every pitch, you get to play back half. And let's say the Astros, or excuse me, the A's, scratch a couple more runs across. Then you can hedge more. Now you're not getting the same payout at plus 1650, but you're at least, you're just, it's not as simple as yay or nay. You have a million options. You can bet on the A's to score that inning, right? So if you're in the seventh inning or whatever it is, and you're up seven, whatever, you can bet on them to score that inning, or maybe plus, you can score over 2.5 runs that inning at like 5-1 or whatever, and still try to hit both. You can create kind of middles with what that's called. And just different, you can kind of thread the needle, so to speak.
Yep. All right, after this, Waddle will talk about his fantasy football team, then his golf game. Let's get some winners. Let's get some winners for our listeners. I mean, we've been talking for 10 minutes here, and I like the first half under. I'm about to play that on DraftKings. So let's talk about the rest of the NFL slate. First of all, the New England game, is that still a bettable game? And is there anything you could take advantage of because they're not practicing if the game goes off?
Right. So that game is off the board, as is the Tennessee-Buffalo game. Now, obviously, the Titans game more likely to be postponed / canceled. So that's off the board. And actually, at a couple of places, the Baltimore game is off the board, but that's an injury-related thing with Lamar Jackson. So Baltimore's hosting Cincy, and that game has been off the board. So a lot of moving pieces in this, but we kind of knew this. Obviously, we got a taste with it with the baseball season, the non-bubble sports. So we kind of knew to expect the unexpected, and certain books had different sort of options. They don't like refunding tickets at all. So like this year, like the Patriots game last week was supposed to be on Sunday that moved to Monday. In the old days, some fine printed books would say, you know, a game has to be played at the same venue on the same day. Here, it's like anything goes. So all those tickets that were like Chiefs -7, even though they closed as a 12-point favorite with the QB switch, those bettors just got lucky and got a good number, and the other people, and maybe throughout the course of the season, they'll come out in the wash. But right now, those two games are off the board, as is the Baltimore game, because of the unknown status of Lamar Jackson. He's one of the most valuable guys, the point spread among the top players. Mahomes is up there. Russell Wilson's up there. So odds makers early in the week are taking things a little bit more cautiously.
What about some of these huge spreads between teams? Do you like, which games do you like most? I mean, I'm seeing one game's 11.5, another game's 7.5, another game's 12, another game's 7.5, another game's 9, another game's 9. To me, it seems like there's so many big numbers. Are you taking advantage of any of those?
Well, it's hard because you're basically what we like to call paying a tax. And that's the problem, is you have to pay a tax on these teams because the Giants and Jets look so bad. I mean, the Cowboys are 0-4 ATS. The only win they got outright was that ridiculous comeback against the Falcons and the onside kick, yet they're laying nearly double digits. Now they're playing the Giants, who haven't scored a touchdown in three games or whatever it is. So they've been ridiculous. Now the Jets are hosting a team that's lost back-to-back games, but they're getting 7. But the Jets are relegated to Joe Flacco, but the line didn't move a ton with the news from Darnold to Flacco. And Waddle, a second ago, talked about teasers. I think this is a teaser weekend. I think you have the right situations where you can go through those numbers of 7-3 that I talked about. So if you can take Arizona down to 1, you can take the Steelers down to 1 at home against the Eagles, who I thought caught huge breaks with Nick Mullins just being terrible last week. Eagles made some plays, but come on. That they should not have won that game. And we also got a Kirk Cousins alert on primetime. He's on the road Sunday night at Seattle. Now, the Seahawks' defense is so bad, I can't lay the 7 just because the Vikings have some weapons, but I'll lay the 1 in a teaser. So I guess I ask you this, Waddle. Are we being duped? Was Arizona's opening win lucky, and we're being fooled that we keep thinking they're a good team because, you know, they lost back-to-back weeks at home to Detroit and then on the road to Carolina?
You know, I like Kyler Murray. And I like the addition of DeAndre Hopkins, and early on, they have been really exciting. I think that they're still finding their way. And defensively, obviously, they got to get a whole lot better. But I wouldn't go away from them just yet. I think they're still trying to define who they are. But I think they're a team that I would probably personally stay away from until I found a better idea who exactly they were. I did exactly what you said with the Cardinals against the Lions. I thought that was a layup. And not only did they not cover that game or win that game, they could be 26-23. I thought they would cover a small number, but I was shocked that they lost at home to the Lions.
Yeah, I described it, I think, on the show as a wake-up call, right? Like, they now learned what it's like to kind of compete for a playoff spot instead of just sneaking up on teams, that you can't have lackadaisical effort. You can't be fat and happy riding high 2-0. I thought their wake-up call was that game. I thought they'd take care of business against Carolina. But I think the Panthers are much better than we realize.
Yeah.
Just because they're so well-coached. They got the right coordinator as well. And Joe Brady. So I like Carolina plus the points, plus two, but I like them in a teaser plus eight this week. So there's a lot of situations I like on the card, but there's no one game I'm circling like that. Yeah, it's hammer time.
Is there
market's tough, man. The market's really leveling out now.
Any college games that you have your eye on?
So there's some interesting trend. I wouldn't fire tonight, but it's just kind of fun. You know, going into the season, we thought the teams that had a game under their belt would be better than the teams that were not playing a game. But it's actually been the other way, which is kind of fascinating. So Tulane plays Houston tonight. Cougars have had a bunch of games canceled. They're playing their season opener tonight on October 8th. And teams that have not played yet, playing a team that already has at least one game, is 17-4 ATS this year. And going back to the year 2000, 85-59-2 ATS. So I guess not having film or whatever narrative you want to put out, but I think it's too high of a line. I'm going to play the over tonight. But in terms of the weekend, the high-profile games, it's really tough because of the weather and Hurricane Delta that's coming through the southeast region. So I'm looking at Alabama team total of like 47.5, but I got to wait till Friday to pull the trigger because I think they're going to be able to name the score on offense against Lane Kiffin and company, but you got to make sure it's clear weather there in Oxford. So I do like that line, but I think the straight up point spread game I like Kentucky at home Lane too. They got some bad breaks the first couple weeks, had that weird call at the end of the first half against Auburn, could have even won the game outright. And I was on the Tigers in that game. I got lucky. And then they lose 41-42 to Ole Miss last week. I think they get the win and cover the two against Mississippi State. I like the Bulldogs, but I like the under and I like the -2 with Kentucky. I think the Wildcats get it done.
Doug, good stuff. We always appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug.
You got it, fellas. Good to be with you as always.
There you go. Check him out, Doug Kazarian, on ESPN. And he joins us usually on Fridays, but we wanted to have him on today right before the Bears game. I know Abdallah's got some props for Bears tonight. We'll go through those coming up, and then Waddle's World.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Seems like it's going to be a tough week to gamble. I mean, you'll find ways, but I still have to send in my son Times Pick. For some reason, I still do that. And I felt like this week was, and I'm glad Doug confirmed that it's a tough week with these big spreads to really nail things down. And he's doing a bunch of teasing. So any props, Abdallah?
Tease that thing.
Gentlemen, we go to Saturday.
Oh, God. Oh, I thought we were talking about gambling. There's a lot of money-making opportunities both days. Don't let that, don't be scared of big spreads.
No, but props tonight I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're
like,
talking
isn't
about, yeah.
Isn't the popular one David Montgomery? What's the total there, like on rushing yards? It's like 40-something, like 48, 47.
49.5.
49.5.
49.5. 49.5. John David Montgomery.
They give up 64.3 rushing yards per game, the Tampa Bay defense.
And the coach doesn't stick with the run.
He does not.
No. No,
but last week he got some heat again. I mean,
he got some heat going into the bye week, you know, last year, and then came out and set an all-time low for number of rushes. And what day was it, Abdallah? What day was it that New Orleans game landed on last year?
What do you mean?
When they only ran the ball like seven times?
On Walter Payton bobblehead day. How dare you?
See? I'm saying,
like he knew.
It's still funny.
It felt awful. on a number of fronts.
Well, he even admitted that he game planned it, that he just changed because it didn't work after three plays.
Maybe he needs, like, when you go to Denny's, I haven't been to Denny's in a while. Does that thing like a threefold? Like, is it a threefold menu? You know how you have just have, like, two sides of a menu and it closes like a book?
No, I think like I don't think it opens or closes.
It's like a flip,
it's
the flip.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it the size? If you were to fold it, would be a three-folder?
Yeah, it's big.
Okay. Maybe he needs like a Waffle House menu that's not like a three-fold.
The basics.
Yeah.
He needs to pick
take
a few some basics
of that crap
that
out
work
of
well.
There.
Right.
He needs an artisanal brunch menu.
Yeah. You know what?
We have four things. If you don't like it, get out.
Take the.
So you're saying there's no moons over Miami?
Take the strawberry mousse on crepes off the list.
I like
crepes. Do you know what he said about Cordero Patterson last week? He said we had that play on our sheet for so many weeks. We wanted to get to it.
Do you know what I said? Give me that sheet so I can cross it off before game day.
Don't think long about this. Just,
You third and one. Give the ball to the back that you used a third-round pick on, and you told us all that he was going to be great.
Why'd you draft him? You drafted him so we could pick an under on a 49.5 total? 49.5. And we'd probably go under.
Don't make me change my prediction.
You
like, all of this conversation is making me, is my dauber's down. And you're you're almost making me change my prediction for tonight.
You know, I was laughing at the other day is for how much they love Patterson. For season ticket holders, they sent a binder of stuff in the mail to season ticket holders because you can't be in the stadium. So basically, all that crap they hand you when you walk into the stadium, they sent to the season ticket holders as like a gift, right? Because that's what I need, a bunch of loose flyers and things, right? And on the outside, like it's a Bears folder, it's a nice folder, and it has three players on the front, Khalil Mack, Tariq Cohen, you say, okay, yeah, it makes sense, and Patterson.
Because it's a three-phase game, my friend.
And I thought to myself, Bears. that's weird. Of all the players you're promoting, like those are the three players you put on the
Pro Bowlers
to send out?
Were those their Pro Bowlers? Is that why?
He was a Pro Bowler.
Should be.
No quarterbacks, no Allen Robinson, no Akeem Hicks.
No, I know.
Where's
they
Hicks?
Don't
wanna...
you know what?
Eddie Jackson. I mean,
Cordero Patterson has
love him.
18 carries for 62 yards. He's averaging 3.4 yards per carry. And in the passing game, he's got four catches for 20 yards, which is five. Even I had greater than a 5 yard per catch average. For a guy who's as explosive as he is in the return game, how many times do you have to try to get him involved in the passing game and the running game before you figure out that maybe that's just not his thing?
And they got enough receivers. Like, let's see some of these guys. Let's see more Javon Wims.
I'm with you, Sylvie. Like, I don't get it. I put on the – and again, he is not a Pro Bowler. He's an all-pro special teamer.
Right. So was Devin Hester. He wasn't a receiver.
Right, exactly. That's my point. So don't overload them with things that they're not great at. I'm with you. Give Javon Wims some of those. I can't guarantee it, but I feel strongly if Javon Wims was in the same position that Cordero Patterson was in on Sunday – against the Colts and went up for that pass, that he is as a receiver would have shown more receiver traits and skills and probably would have caught that pass and maybe taken it in.
But
for
it's the speed. Maybe Patterson got open because of his speed.
I don't think that's
the thing that he flirted with Matt Nagy. You know, Matt Nagy sees the speed. It's why he was drafted so high.
But, Sylvie, we all know.
No, I'm with you.
I'm not breaking any news here. Like, Cordero's been with – he was a first-round pick with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah,
why do you think that didn't work out for them?
Oh, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying why Nagy is doing it.
I don't know.
Dion in Antioch, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dion?
Well, I wanted to ask you a question. Sylvie?
Sure.
Are you there?
Yeah, Dion, go ahead. Yeah.
Are you a Bears fan, Sylvie?
I am a Bears fan. I'm a big Bears fan, Dion.
Okay. Well, I am too there, and I've heard some of your callers call, and everybody's calling for the Bears to lose tonight, and I'm a little disappointed there. Whether they win or lose, I'm going to back them, and I'm going to be cheering for them there. And I'll say this, this defense of ours lets that 43-year-old quarterback sit back there and pick them apart, then shame on them. That's all I can say about that. But I have an observation I would like to say. Maybe I'm a little ahead of my time, but I heard you guys make the remark earlier today that you're not really high on Matt Nagy. His play call never has been all that great in my mind. I have no doubt in my mind he's a fantastic, wonderful person. But there was another coach out there that I was hoping that the Bears would bring in here when they brought Matt Nagy, and in my opinion, he belongs in Chicago. He played for the Bears back in the day, and I think he would be a great coach. He was great in college. He got it. All his players played hard for him. Wherever he went, he took a team to the Super Bowl who I think had less talent than this roster's got on it. But I don't think anybody in that higher hierarchy up there for the Bears, I don't think they'll get it figured out by themselves. Somebody's going to have to talk to them there. But I wish they'd go out and bring Harbaugh in Chicago, and I think he could take this team to the promised land, and I believe that. I think he's really, maybe he's got a little arrogance about him. There's nothing wrong about that in football, and that's about all I got to say about that. But I think the Bears will win tonight. I really do.
All right, Dan, what do you think about your guy Harbaugh? Is he staying in college?
I think he's going to stay in college. And look, you know how much I think of Jim and how much I love Jim. But he needs to solve the quarterback problem at the collegiate level, I think, before you figure out whether or not he could have the same type of impact at the professional level. Don't you think?
He seemed like a better pro coach, though.
No, I know he did. And listen, when they were in San Francisco, and I don't want to shortchange Jim, but I believe who's the offensive coordinator's name's escaping me right now?
Greg Roman
from the Baltimore Ravens was Cap's offense, not David Kaplan, Colin Kaepernick's offensive coordinator then. And Greg Roman did some fantastic things with that offense at that time. Look, I would never write it off. I would never write it off.
Yeah, but we want to see Matt Nagy prove that he can call games. That's what we want to see tonight. Yeah. All right, Waddle's World is coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Is that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
I was watching Gladiator two nights ago. You guys should do it as well. It's a great movie. Waddle's World brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust Community Banks. They're Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/finance, member FDIC.
It's always awesome, right? I mean, that's
I can watch that movie.
To,
there are certain movies I can watch over and over and over and over and over again, and I don't get bored by them. Like, there are other movies where I won't watch more than once. But Gladiator, I could watch every time. Thumbs up, Gladiator, young men? Yeah? No?
Were you entertained?
I was entertained. Yeah. Gladiator guy?
Yeah. It's a long movie.
It is. Yeah. It's a commitment. Yeah. Abdallah, you a Gladiator guy?
Oh, yeah.
Are you eating in there?
Yeah, I think he's eating.
Oh, what do you have?
Apples? You got an apple?
How about these apples?
Honeycrisp.
Oh, you got the Honeycrisp?
I
got
a bit of Honeycrisp. It's in season. Those Honeycrisps are the best. It's like the best apple in the world.
Take a big bite.
It's bigger than
my
fist.
Let me hear a crunch.
Get a big crunch on there.
It's the last. Like, I'm literally, it's the last.
Really? I can't tell you the last time I ate an apple. It's been years.
Oh, it was delicious.
Why? I don't know.
You had a little, you had one of those little kid cups of peanut butter.
Yeah.
You could have
used apple the crackers.
That.
I had crackers.
Yeah, but apple that up.
Apples
are good, Waddle.
I know. I don't know why. It's a food, one of these foods that I haven't had in years.
How do you guys eat apples?
I cut it up now.
Okay.
I don't eat apples, so I couldn't tell you. But back in the day, I'd wash it. I wash the apple, sometimes a little dab of soap.
Yeah. Right.
And then I'd rinse it off so I would have no soap residue on it, and then I would eat it like that.
I bite it.
So you go right into the apple?
Cut it. I got a blade on me.
You cut it up,
Bella? Yeah, cut it into four little things.
Yeah.
Isn't that cute?
Slicer? I have an apple slicer at home. Yeah.
I just use a knife. Isn't
an apple slicer? Why
an apple slicer.
Isn't a knife an apple slicer?
No, they make them special.
It's a round thing, and then you put it on top of the apple.
You just crack it.
And then you just push down. Now you got like eight slices.
Is it big enough to hold a Honeycrisp? Because those can get pretty big.
Yes, they can. You're right about that. Like the really big Honeycrisp, no, it's not big enough.
Do you know what it's actually also good for creating a cut that needs stitches is if you put it in your dishwasher and you're not careful.
Always put it down, the blade down.
Yeah.
So that way you pick it up by the handle.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Tells me that Braxton at some point is throwing that thing across the room at his brother.
Probably, but remember, that's how Quintana got hurt. Wasn't he slicing an apple? No, it was a dishwasher accident. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was washing dishes. He had a glass broke.
Yeah.
A wine glass broke and cut him.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Boy, are the A's pouring it on? Or did he make that catch?
No, he made that catch.
Wow.
Oh, we're taking it in the seeds right now. Two Timberlands tied up as tight as you can be and just over and over kicking us in the marbles.
Who's the right fielder there for the Astros who just robbed a home run from the A's? Is that Josh Reddick?
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Reddick just went over. It's a small wall, but it's still a great catch.
I call him JJ.
That's different.
Different sport. 3-0 A's.
This is a story that I know is caught a lot of people's attention here in town. The Chicago Blackhawks are not bringing back goalie Corey Crawford, according to general manager Stan Bowman. Stan said, I had a conversation with Corey earlier today, and it was an emotional talk.
He's one of, we've said this a million times, he's one of the most underappreciated athletes in Chicago sports, in Blackhawk history. And the Hawks aren't going out and signing a goalie.
The message to Corey and to everyone else today is that we've decided to have some young goaltenders here in Chicago we believe in, much like Corey needed that opportunity when he came up after the 2010 season. So, I wonder what he will get. Robin Leonard just get a big extension from Nashville?
Right.
I wonder what kind of deal. His last deal was 5 years, $25 million, right?
Remember, health is a concern with Crawford. You know, he's had some head injuries and
right. Robin Leonard got a 5-year, $25 million deal. That was the one he decided.
I don't think Crawford's getting anything close to that, is he?
Sources told ESPN the Blackhawks had been negotiating with Crawford on a new deal, but were asking him to take a significant pay cut from $5 million on his last contract. Sources say the Blackhawks were offering around $3.5 million to Crawford for a one-year deal, although talks fell apart.
I hope they mentioned to him before Bowman said this on the conference call, because do you remember that's how Phil Emery caught Brian Urlacher? Isn't that what happened? They cut him and they publicized it before he even called Urlacher, before George called Urlacher. Like, that's a player that I hope that you respect on the way out. And they sent out some really nice tweets and everything. I'm just saying, like, it always sits raw with me the way the Bears did that to Urlacher.
Yeah, I'm with you. Really nice tweets are great, but talking to someone in person first is optimal.
Yes.
It's the way it needs to be done. Titans have another COVID test come back positive. Another player's tested positive.
So what are they doing? This is going to be another game that's going to be postponed. Do they end up giving a forfeit? Will they move the season back and the Super Bowl back?
Good questions. This brings the total number of positive tests within the Titans organization to 23 since September 4th. The team facility remains closed. Organization still prohibited from in-person gatherings or activities.
The thing that sucks, and I didn't know this, Greeny brought this up on his show, is that the players, they were supposed to play Buffalo, right? Is that who they were playing this weekend?
I think so.
Whoever they're supposed to play, if that game isn't played, all the players, but the Titans have the problem, the players don't get game checks if the game isn't played.
Yeah, that's got to be attended to. That can't be the case.
Well, that was supposedly the agreement when they collectively bargained this. Games that aren't played, you don't get your game check. So here the Bills are, who could have done everything right. And now, because the Titans screwed it up, all those players on the Bills roster won't get paid.
That's
got to
be
up.
A spirit of the rule conversation that takes place. If the Buffalo Bills are 100% clean and they don't play because the Tennessee Titans are dirty, then I don't believe you penalize the Bills in the same manner in which you would penalize the Tennessee Titans. I don't believe that that is the case. I don't think that should be the case. I don't believe that will be the case. I can't imagine that they'll hold the Bills responsible for that situation.
People are mad. People are mad about this.
By the way, the NFL informed the Titans of in-person gathering ban before their players worked out. So the Titans were informed on September 29th that in-person gatherings had been banned because of the organization's ongoing COVID-19 outbreak, according to Dan Graziano, meaning that the players' informal workout the following day was unauthorized and a violation of the league's virus-related protocols.
But I heard the Titans beat reporter say there are contradictions, that the Titans may have been informed, but they may not have informed their players. That the memo to the players went out like 2 days later.
That feels a whole lot like a Houston Astros situation, doesn't it?
It's really bad, isn't it? I mean, why is the front office so bad there?
I'm not sure, and I like their coach. I think Mike Vrabel is a really good coach, but I don't know what happened there. Chargers have named Justin Herbert their starter going forward.
Yes, he's good.
Kansas's coach Les Miles has tested positive for COVID-19. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson misses two straight practices for the first time in his career, and Bill Belichick says players' health, safety is the Patriots' top priority. I think the Patriots have been a pretty good example. I know that they've got a couple of positives here. I know Cam was positive. I know Stephon Gilmore was positive. But I think they have followed the rules as far as I know, which may bring a smile to somebody's face because some may argue they don't always follow the rules. But they have used multiple buses, multiple planes. I think they have actually done some things that everybody had collectively bargained, and they followed through with it. So, listen, these things are going to happen. Like, as much as you try to keep all 53 of your players and probably 60-plus guys that are in the facility and coaches and everybody else, it's quite a chore, for sure. So, that's your update on all that's going on in terms of the world of the National Football League and all the COVID situations. The Braves have a 7-0 lead over the Marlins in the top of the 7th right now. I'm losing that bet. And bottom of the 4th, the Oakland A's are sticking it to me, and Abdallah, 3-0 is your score there.
Did you guys see Lucas Giolito and Utz Snacks get into it last night?
No.
On Twitter? It's Utz. Is that how you pronounce the snack, the ones who make the pretzels and the chips and everything? They had their logo is like a creepy, it's like a creepy old,
like a little girl, right?
A little girl, right.
Yeah, like
I was trying to phrase
the hallway,
it the right way.
And
Giolito tweeted about it, and Utz went back at Giolito saying, you're not in the ALDS. You shut up over there, basically.
Wait, why did he tweet about them? He tweeted because of the logo?
But yes, he said it was creeping him out, I think. Oh. Go back. We could pay that off coming up next with the nuttiest story of the day. I'm not saying that that's going to be the nuttiest story of the day, but I was laughing last night. And Giolito's a good sport, and he took it in stride. But it was very funny.
As advertised, when we come back, I will bring you the nuttiest story of the day, and damn it, it won't be that one.
The 3 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
The nuttiest story of the day, brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. You know what they say, a night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little nutty.
Before you do that, before you get into the nuttiest story of the day.
By the way, can you ask Carmen, if he's listening right now.
He's not listening.
There's a bottle of Ben Rioch.
It's Scotch. Single
malt Scotch.
Scotch. You have it.
Age 17. It 17 hasn't been years. Open, but I just Googled it. It's like a $140 bottle.
Oh, don't do it.
I need
what
to get
it. What are you supposed to do? Just let it sit there?
Maybe it's a gift for somebody that he was going to get.
You're right. I'm not going to.
All right. So Normally,
by
we do
the way,
this on Friday.
A's lead has been cut 3-2 for anybody out there who may be gambling on this game.
Michael Brantley with a two-run home run.
Normally, we do this on Friday, but because the Bears are playing today and maybe because we didn't do it last Friday because we were abbreviated for baseball, we're going to do this Thursday and Friday. We're going to have the screwball sign-off. What's better than leading into the Bears game and us giving you $200 to the country club in Wrigleyville, courtesy of Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey? You can drink peanut butter whiskey, maybe listen to Name a Countryman. Name a country. First countryman that comes to mind.
Chris Stapleton.
Chris, of course. Of course.
Alabama. I don't know if that's Morgan Wallen.
He's
sideline. You can still listen to him, though.
You can listen to him. Jason Aldean.
There you go. There
Luke
you
Combs.
Go. Luke Combs.
Luke Combs is fantastic.
Combs. I love Luke Combs.
Yeah.
All right. So, the nuttiest story of the day is brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball is bound to get a little nutty, like you mentioned. And if you call, not right now. Don't call me now. Swear to God.
No one's calling at the moment.
Yeah, the end of the show. The end of the show. When I tell you to call, be caller 20, and you will win not $100, not $150, $200.
They are some of the most generous people on the planet, at least on our show.
$200.
Like, they give over $200 worth of stuff away.
Yeah, $200.
Right. Like, I'm giving you shirts that will scrape your nipples up and make them bleed.
$200. To the country club in Wrigleyville.
I like it.
Later this show. So in the 5 o'clock hour towards the end of the show. And then we'll do it again tomorrow as well.
Wow. That's $500 worth of stuff.
That's $400 worth of stuff.
I'm sorry. $400 worth of stuff.
Well, what's wrong with you?
$400 worth of stuff.
And Are you drinking the scotch already?
No.
I can't think of a better way to watch this nutty Thursday night football game.
Oh, then with a big old glass.
Big old glass with a big old ice cube.
Yeah.
Of screwball peanut butter whiskey.
If you guys haven't had it, it's delicious.
It is.
We drank it a couple of weeks ago.
You know what it tastes like?
Peanut butter.
It tastes like peanut butter, yes.
Yeah.
But
thanks.
Had the like the Jelly Bellies.
Oh, get down. It will.
It will.
Yeah.
Like the Jelly Bellies, like that good, like you know
oh,
that
yeah,
goes
yeah,
like
yeah.
the.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. What's on there? Okay, it's time for the nuttiest story of the day. I have to tell you, there have been nuttier stories. It is one of those days where
you need to sell it better. Like when you come in with these stories and you're like, it's a crappy story, but I'll read it anyway. Like, just tell us all they're really good. And
beast
then we'll
of a them. Snake, a huge python caught in the Everglades could set a new record. Two Florida python hunters caught what could potentially be a record breaking Burmese python in the Everglades last week. Guys named Ryan and Kevin said on social media that official measurements of the enormous female snake are being taken this week. On Friday night, we pulled this beast of a snake out of a waist-deep water area in the middle of the night, deep in the Everglades. I've never seen a snake anywhere near this size, and my hands were shaking as I approached her. The current state record for length? Take a guess.
State record for a snake length.
Now, do you have to understand, they have a problem with these snakes down in the Everglades.
69 feet.
You're an idiot.
What?
There's no such snake on the planet that's 69 feet
you
long.
You were just asking me the world's largest. I thought it would be large.
Yeah, you never
69
seen,
feet.
You never
like,
seen, you
I
never
saw
seen
anaconda.
Anaconda. You never
I,
seen
I did.
Anaconda? That,
I did.
The Ice Cube and J-Lo vehicle?
Oh, I saw Anaconda.
Were those, that were bigger than 69 feet.
And Anaconda 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
The current state record for length is 18 feet 8 inches.
That's it?
For a python.
69. Sylvie.
What do you call me?
Your yourself called Cara?
I don't know what I was calling you.
It literally turned into my wife, her radio partner.
I don't know if this is nutty.
Waddle is confused if he's speaking to his wife or his radio partner.
I don't know if this is nutty. I mean, you guys act like you've never seen a big snake before.
I haven't. Not in person.
Snakes freak me out.
Me too. I'm
you've
very
never gone
scared
to like one of those.
Oh,
like,
get out!
Get out!
They will!
Get out!
They will!
They will!
Get out!
Oh, yeah.
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 Here we go!
Chaos! Carlos, yeah. Brown!
Chaos!
Boy, you guys rooting for the Astros.
Oh,
it's
so great.
It's so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much fun.
Take what
that,
is it, 5-3, three-run homer?
5-3, yeah, my money. I'm cheering for my money right now. Anyway, I don't know. You know what? If I Googled the largest snake in the history of the world, 69 feet, I think you were just trying to be a funny guy there, is like, no, there's no chance there's ever been a snake found 69 feet.
We were 17 talking about feet, record. Though, is not long.
18.
That's what I thought, Black.
18
right.
and a half feet.
That's
I thought
not very long.
For a record in the Everglades, that there would
yeah,
be some
I'm with Sylvie.
Monstrous snakes.
But those are
have
all
you
snakes.
Those
these
snake
are Burmese
shows?
Pythons. That what happens is they're pets for people. They get too mm-hmm. big for their little aquariums, and yeah. then they throw them out into
they
the Everglades.
Them. Yeah.
World record size.
That's what happened with the alligator. Didn't we do this last summer?
For a snake.
All right. Let's get
the
to
the longest
more.
Anaconda
25
ever
feet 2 inches.
Is 27.2 inches.
Wow.
But, you know,
feet.
My
no,
anaconda
feet.
Don't want none unless
nice.
Yeah. You got
buns, hun.
Buns, hun.
Why? Right, did you just Google large snakes?
Yeah. I don't think I'm in the right spot.
We have an old open about that, the snake open. You should try to dig that up if Meller has unlocked all the previous production.
Ooh,
but
boy.
We're back in 2 minutes to talk some Bears and Bucks. Will Nick Foles right the ship in his second start? We'll discuss in 2 short minutes.